Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where the days are at their smallest time of the year, and winter is beginning to set upon us. And for those who've been nice, Santa is sure to bring presents to those who've been naughty. Something much different. As my father used to say, you're getting coal for winter this, for Christmas this year, son. At any rate, this is a wonderful day, and we've got Robert on the line and Stacy both. How are you?
We're great.
I'm fine.
Good.
And hey, Jack, I used to get switches in coal.
You know, that's because you're from the South. In the North, they said it was coal.
Okay.
But with the there's not much left of the coal industry, thanks to Barack Hussein Obama. But that's another story and for another day. Today, at where we left last time, Robert was talking about his time in Vietnam, and it's fascinating. And I want you to pick back up on that if that's what you're intending to do, because I love the story. And where we left, almost like a serial in the 1940s, you were wounded in the helicopter, and they were trying to bring you, they were bringing you back to safety. Reminiscent of when Tom Mix used to go over the cliff, and you say, for sure, this time he's going to die. But somehow, he managed to escape. Take it over, Robert.
The point of this story is not just to reminisce about some of the things I've gone through, but to deal with the fact that what we think is going on right at the moment in time that we're living through, that we think is negative, may be something that God has designed for us and has designed it really since eternity past for us to go through to bless us. We'll pick up with that story in just a moment, but there was another addendum to my life about 5 days ago. I got up. I was supposed to have a meeting here in Houston with a longtime friend of mine on a business deal. Went to the Waffle House, which Jack knows dearly. So, you know, I think they started in Atlanta. And I had some breakfast, got up to pay my bill, and I couldn't stand up. I was blacking out, and the waitresses recognized that and had me sit down. All I really wanted to do was go out to my car to get to my meeting, but they wouldn't let me do that. They called the ambulance. And so here I am, I'm going, crud, this is awful. Here I've been sitting here in Houston waiting for this meeting, and within a few minutes before it's supposed to take place, I'm going through this. What's the deal? All right? And so the ambulance came. They insisted to take me to the hospital, and seeing how I, thanks to the Viet Cong soldier who shot me. Now, this is part of, we used part of it back into that story. I have 40% disability, which means I can use VA, all kinds of services to the VA when I need to. So they put me in their ambulance. They got my blood pressure is way down. So they got it back up a little bit and took me off to the to VA hospital. Now, at any point during this time, I've I might have suggested this was not a good break, right? That this couldn't be a blessing from God. But in fact, I got to the VA hospital after taking a bunch of blood and doing a bunch of tests. They checked me in to one of their rooms, and amazing enough, here in Houston, VA wasn't busy. I don't know why, but they weren't. I had a room all to myself. They kept checking and taking blood, and et cetera, all night long. And the next day, they finally came in, and they said, okay, what you have is an infection. And
really?
We're going to put you on this very powerful antibiotic. And then they gave me a few things they wanted me to do, all right? I said, okay. And I got back to my room here. The next day, I felt better than I had felt in months and months, maybe years, because I think I've been carrying
infection. Okay, wait a minute. You got back to your, when you say your room, in other words, your apartment, not, you aren't talking about the hospital room.
Oh, no, not the hospital. I got back to the Super 8 here in Houston, because I've been living in Dallas, and I came down here to see my friends. So I got back here to the Super 8, and I had wondered why I was so tired all the time, just dragging, and I just sort of attributed it off to, you know, we make terrible doctors when we're the ones that diagnose our
problem.
And so the next day I got up, and I felt really good. And I've been taking the antibiotic. It's a, you know, the VA doesn't give you something mild when something really strong will do is good. And so they gave me some Cipro, which they use for anthrax. And I don't know what was killing off in my body, but they were giving up in legions in there. And I was feeling so much better. So then I rescheduled. In fact, I'm supposed to see my friend tomorrow morning. But the point being is, if in the midst of having breakfast at the Waffle House, if I had not almost passed out, I would have been carrying that infection on maybe for weeks. Who knows, all right? I think I've had it for quite some time now. Point being is
now Cipro. I've had to take Cipro for diverticulitis along with flagyl, which is the worst thing. It's almost as bad as having the diverticulitis. But the Cipro is extremely strong, but it's usually was your infection in your lung, or did they know?
Oh, no. It was a urinary tract infection. And the previous night before Waffle House, I had said, you know, I haven't had a really, really, really hot bath in a long time. I think I'll jump in here and have a really, really hot bath. Well, I was so messed up that all my blood went to my legs.
Ooh.
45 minutes after I pulled the plug on the bath, I finally was able to scoot my way out of the tub. I thought I was going to stay there till I heard somebody, you know, till the maid came at Super 8. I mean, I was really not in good shape. So, again, I was in such bad shape that I wasn't fighting going to the hospital. But where did this all begin? This all began back in 30 some odd years ago, when I was flying a helicopter over Cambodia, had some enemy soldiers get so excited about shooting at a helicopter, they put a bullet through my leg. Didn't do any damage particularly, it's just sort of a nasty scar. But it allowed me to access the facilities at VA. So we never see the point of this whole deal is that we are so caught up in the moment to judge the moment, whether it's good or bad, that we don't really give ourselves a chance to understand what God's doing. And so as I look back on this last few days, no, I probably wouldn't have signed up if it was on my itinerary for a trip that would include all this.
Yes.
But the point being is God did, right? And I assure you there are people listening to us that are going through things which are not pleasant, and they would really, really, really not want to go through them. But they don't understand them. And all I'm saying is we don't get to judge God as to whether he is letting us down or not based on the moment, because we have to wait and see what he really has in mind for us. I mean, it's not the last. I was thinking the other night that we'll really have perspective of what we're going through about 100 years from now. Now, obviously, we won't be keeping time in years at that moment, all right? Because we will be
right.
blasting through eternity. But we are already in eternity, right? God already is in charge of the whole thing. And we need to judge our life by eternity. Was somebody wanting to say something? Just break on in.
Well, I think almost everybody has a tendency to magnify the moment, whatever is happening, whatever the emotion is, whatever the situation, whatever the financial distress, you know, the relational distress, the problem with kids, wars, rumors of wars, what's happening in Washington, all of that, we tend to magnify by 100-fold. And I'm going to give you an example of that I think is a really interesting one. If you were to ask a Puritan what was the most significant event in history, other than some biblical event, they would all say the destruction of the Spanish Armada in 1588 that was coming to war against Britain, and a storm at sea destroyed them, Catholic Spain, which was the predominant power in the world, retreated never to be a global power again, and so Catholicism declined, and the Puritan Great Britain ascended, and England became the dominant nation in the world for 200 years, and we had the Pax Britannica. Now, if you were to ask 1 million people in America what was the greatest event in history other than some biblical thing, not one of them would say the destruction of the Spanish Armada. But at the time, it's easy to see why that was so important in world history, and they magnified it to be, the great biblical things and the second coming of Christ and everything. But it pales in significance to things that happen now, because we live in the now and not in the past. So this is it's just an example that came to my mind that I thought was a pretty good one. But we do that, don't we?
Well, and the fact of the matter is, it would appear as though we may go through some very interesting times in the near future, right? Because...
Oh, yeah.
Well, I have this... hopefully I'll have my meeting tomorrow morning with my friend who is the president of several hospitals. And I find it very interesting when he talks about the health of Obamacare, right? And they talk about, we really don't know what the end result's going to be. And I hear that. And I sent him a little email a few days ago, and I said, you're smarter than that, right? There is no way. There's no scenario. There's nothing out there that makes this work out okay? I mean, how does it work out? It doesn't. Now, there are people who are saying, well, we don't know for sure how it's going to work out. Well, we really sort of do. You know, it's sort of a mind. What's happening is the truck didn't see, but another big pickup was coming screaming by and ran right over the top of his Jaguar, right? And there were nothing much left except for the springs on his wheel.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Right, didn't hurt the truck very much, but it totaled the Jaguar.
Are you still there, Robert? It's you're kind of fading in and out here a little bit. Are you there? Oh, there
yeah,
you go.
I'm here.
Go ahead, Robert.
The point I'm saying is that, are you there?
He's bleeping out.
Yeah.
Let me call you back in, okay?
While he's doing that, tell people where they can get products and what we're doing. We got a pretty good sale on for the Search for Significance that Robert wrote that it sold 3 million copies. So that's really something that we're liking.
Absolutely, we have another sale going on. I would love to tell anybody about it. They can call 800-460-4673, or they can go to our website, which is www.mcgeeandme.net. And McGee is spelled M-C-G-E-E. Now, they can also go to The Search for Significance on Facebook and see different postings.
Like us. Search for Significance,
yeah,
on Facebook.
Yeah, we want you,
yes,
to like us.
And you'll get all of our stuff. Robert's back on. Go ahead, Robert.
Well, the point I'm making is I don't care what anybody says. There is absolutely zero way that this healthcare mess can be straightened out without horrific damage being done to many, many, many millions of families are going to suffer through this. It's not.
Oh, I know it.
When people say, well, we really don't know what's going to happen. Oh, they know what's going to happen. They knew what was going to happen 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
I have no idea why they want to cause such catastrophe, but it's going to happen. And if I didn't have VA, I would really be concerned about it. But the point being is that, look, if you have a family, you'd better figure out ways of taking care of your family and do not assume the healthcare industry is going to be up and running anywhere near. Because, see, Obama's not going to back down from having his universal health. I mean, he actually sort of wants this to be a crisis so he can get universal healthcare.
Yeah.
But the Republicans aren't going to have that. I mean, he doesn't get paid off by destroying the system he wants. So we have real bad time coming. Now, I'm not saying that just to scare the wicked. There's a book called, I think it's the, it has to do with the people who make it through crisis. I think it's also, remember that? Does Stacey go home?
No, I'm here.
She's here.
Are you?
It's just we can't hear
it's
you.
It's a book that talks about people who were in just in situations which were not going to work out, and they demanded to live through those situations as though it was normal. In other words, if there was going to be some massive disaster happened, they still demanded to get up when they usually got up, do the things they usually do. It's called the normalcy factor. It's where people want to act as though everything is normal when there's no way everything is normal. And that's what's happening now. People almost sense that this thing is going to crater, but they don't want to have to deal with that, so they're going to ignore it and pretend as though everything's normal. Everything is not normal. If anybody can tell me how all this is going to work out, I want to hear this theory, because all I hear these people saying is, well, you know, it's going to work out somehow. Oh, yeah? How? How does it work out?
Well, you know, this is this is exactly the same thing that's happening, you know, with the debt. We're right now at $17.25 trillion in debt, which averages to $150,000 for every taxpayer in America. That's their part of the national debt now. And they're just going on as if nothing is wrong with this, and kind of the whole idea of, well, if we don't think about it, if we don't do anything, you know, it's okay for right now. And without knowing that there's this terrible cliff ahead of us. And they're doing the same thing also with the international politics, with
still on? Hello?
Okay, Jack?
I'm here. I think the volume's up.
We'll call.
Well, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the statement that was made, we'll just pass the bill and we'll figure it out later. That's exactly what you all are talking about, which to me is insanity.
That's the matter. So, I guess we'll get together in about a week and we'll tighten up this train that we're using for our radio, and it's like you're in a normal situation, Stacy. By the way, folks, you need to pray for Stacy. She needs to go get some treatment.
With the illusion and not deal with what's real. And, of course,
there
you know, in
Here's
all
Jack.
Of this, oh, you're back on. Good. Go ahead, Robert.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. That's what that's what everybody's trying to pretend, that this – see, we would think that if the people we have in charge really understood what was going on, as bad as – we think it is because it is, they would be running around like they had their hair on fire, right? And to sit and watch them go through their days as though there's nothing really going on is really pretty confusing to most folks. But, in fact, it shouldn't be, because they don't know what to do. It's like they just want to hang on for a little bit longer, even if that little bit longer is only a few days, in power. Because I guess it's just so addictive to be in power that it's better to be in power than try to solve anything. But the point being with all this is that we're going to go through very difficult days. God is still God. And I want to refer people to a YouTube video by Joseph Prince. Everybody needs to look at. It's called Rest in Jesus' Faith for Miracles. In this teaching, see, a lot of people think it's up to them to have the faith. No, it's up to Jesus to have the faith. We are to live and rest in the fact that Jesus is the one that has the faith, and we can rely on his faith to make the miracles happen, not on our faith. There's nothing in Scripture that says that we have to qualify for miracles, because we don't. If we had to qualify for miracles, we would really be in a bind, because we'd never see a miracle. The fact is, we can rest today knowing all this is coming down the pike because Jesus is who he is. Remember, this is the same one who holds the whole universe in place. And he can, even though we don't know how he's going to deal with this mess, and this mess is going to be hard to get through, still, he can get through it. And that's what we hang on.
And, you know, it reminds me of that verse, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Now, Stacy, this YouTube link, yeah, I get that from Robert and post it on the Search for Significance fan page on Facebook, which will also go to Twitter and to my LinkedIn account. So we'll get pretty good coverage with that, and you know that's something that we can do for people that are listening.
One of the best messages I've ever heard, period, from my entire life. All right.
Gosh. Okay. Yeah, I'll be glad to do that so they can look for it.
Mm-hmm.
Outside
mm-hmm.
of that, for a recommendation, I don't have one. I guess.
You know, with everything that we've been talking about, and this is, you know, the technology of what we're doing here this evening hasn't been the best, but you know that happens when you are, you know, doing radio shows. It reminds me more of the search for reality than anything that we've talked about in quite a while. Of
right.
What is real? What is real is what God says. Everything else is an illusion. And that just seems to me as if tying into who God is, what he has said, and counting on that is the key for people who are in desperate trouble emotionally, psychologically, financially, morally, all the rest of it.
Amen. Amen. And I guess we will talk to everybody next week, and we'll see if we can figure out how we can have a better technology. I think I'll decide not to use Skype to call in. I think I may have messed everything up. So God bless you.
And thank you. And Stacy, tell everybody where the website is and the 800 number again, in case they want to call.
Certainly. The 800 number is 800-460-4673, and our website is www.mcgeeandme.net, and McGee is spelled M-C-G-E-E.
Now, I had mentioned, The Search for Reality, and that's our newest book. It's Roberts, and I helped him with it. I helped him a lot with it, to be honest with you, and it's really extraordinary, folks. If you read it, so many Christian books are just drivel, but this is substantive, and there are things in that will transform your life, guaranteed. At any rate, that's all the time that we have, and you know, I apologize for us going in and out, but you know, that's just that atmospheric stuff going on up there, and we don't have all the control over it that we would like to have. And thank you, Robert, for persevering, and thanks, Stacy, for being here. And we will talk to everybody next week. And let me just say this: God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.